there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy. And just to let you know, Jay, I am a member of the White Boys.
Jeff, I thought we were B-Boys.
Nope, we're White Boys now.
No, I don't want to be a White Boy. I want to be a B-Boy.
We need cocaine, Jay.
Heroin, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're probably both.
I was sitting there, I was like, who would win in a fight, the White Boys or the B-Boys?
Oh, man.
I mean, I think the probably B-Boys would certainly get up to more pranks.
Probably the White Boys, but the B-Boys would be way more fun.
Yeah. Jeff, I think we stay the B-Boys.
Yeah, no.
Listener, if you have no idea what we're talking about with all this White Boy nonsense, well, let's dive into it. We'll deck the halls for 1990s Dark Angel, also known as I Come in Peace.
Also originally known as Lethal Contact.
Which is such a great name. Fucking Lethal Contact is like the greatest movie ever made. If they had released this as Lethal Contact.
And I mean, it's also very descriptive of what the alien actually does, Jay.
Yeah. Not dark. The fuck is a dark angel?
Nah, I don't know.
And I Come in Peace is just what he says.
They're a chapter of Space Marines. I know that for sure.
Released September 28th, 1990. I thought with all the Christmas stuff in like around this movie, I was like, oh, this is ripe for like a December 12th release or whatever.
Yeah.
And nope, September 28th.
That's rough.
Right. And right before Halloween, people aren't going to go see this piece of shit.
They should have leaned into the Christmas angle and marketed for December. Yeah.
I apologize. This movie's not a piece of shit. We'll get to that later.
It's not, but I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Directed by Craig R. Baxley, who also did stunts for Predator. He was a stuntman of some renown. And most importantly for me, directed some TV movies, Stephen King adaptations, including my favorite one, Storm of the Century.
Ooh.
You ever seen Storm of the Century?
I have not.
I think it is maybe the coolest Stephen King, like not even based off a book. I think it's like he just wrote the screenplay.
Oh, I was going to say all the best ones are short stories or screenplays.
So yeah, so this would be right. I love Storm of the Century. I think it's awesome. Written by Jonathan Tidor and David Kep. And David Kep also wrote Death Becomes Her.
Ooh.
Great movie. Our star, Dolph Lundgren, is our lead as Detective Jack Kane.
Yes.
We've got Brian Benben as Special Agent Arwood Larry Smith.
You know what? He does a good job.
And Betsy Brantley is our love interest / coroner, Diane Poloni.
Boo.
And early on, when it went Dolph Lundgren, Brian Benben, and Betsy Brantley, I went, is everyone else going to be a double B name? And then they weren't.
Matthias Hughes.
Matthias Buse is our bad alien, Talek. And Jay Bylus, plays our good alien, Azek.
Oh, yes.
And Jim Hayne, who plays the police captain, Captain Malone, we will see him again whenever we get around to that Fog Day episode because he plays the dock master in The Fog.
You know what, Jay? You've been gone for 7 days, and I might have been able to overlook that. But 8 fucking days!
But 8 days? Tony Brubaker plays garage sweeper and did stunts for this as well as They Live,
ooh,
Ghostbusters 1 and 2, and Predator 1 and 2.
Nice.
Jack Verbois plays Man Hostage and was famously Ben Tramer in Halloween 2.
Oh boy, that'll tie into something later.
Tagline, it's not a close encounter. It's the last.
Yes.
Another tagline. Jack Kane, Houston cop, human. What he's up against isn't.
That's pretty good.
And Jeff, this movie was actually shot in Houston.
Yes, it was. Rare movie that's actually shot where it's set.
But you want to know one thing I did notice?
What, Jeff?
We didn't see any of the famous Houston Boston Ducks driving around.
That is weird, Jay, because we watched another movie set in Texas, and
no one in this movie ever talked to, oh, the Christmas craft fair is coming up.
Yeah.
And the, you know, that weird mall that's been, they never mention anything from Christmas Craft Fair Massacre, which I've led to believe is the most accurate Houston representation on film.
Not even a passing reference to the Christmas craft fair, and it's set at Christmas. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Instantly made this movie. This movie got off on the wrong foot after all that.
Sour taste in our mouth from the beginning. I also want to point out the music composer for this movie, Jan Hammer. If you recognize a little bit of the music in this movie, it's because he also did Miami Vice.
Oh, that would track.
Yeah.
Also, Jan Hammer, what a great name.
Yes. Yes.
Budget of an estimated $7 million. The box office was $4.3 million.
Made about $4 million.
not a hit.
Uh-oh. That's not what you want to see. You're already, I mean, $7 million already, you know, kind of low budget even for the time.
But $7 million, still a lot of money, but yeah, like, and then to not even make the $7 million back.
Yep.
And I believe that is the worldwide box office total, not just America.
Yes, and it made half that money in its opening weekend, by the way. So word of mouth spread. Nobody went to see this movie for some reason.
I mean, I can't believe it. I can't believe people weren't wrapped around the block. One last summer blockbuster of 1990. People are lining up. They gotta see Dark Angel, a.k.a. I Come in Peace, a.k.a. Lethal Contact.
I mean, you would think by now, because, I mean, Dolph Lundgren was what? He would have been in Rocky IV, Masters of the Universe by now, Red Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of his biggest hits would have happened by now. So you'd think he would be able to draw people in. Oh, The Punisher.
Plus, he's in this looking cool. In one scene, maybe looking cooler than any human has ever looked before.
I think I know the scene you're talking
about. Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it when we get there. Where to watch? Tubi.
Tubi.
But I believe on Tubi it is called Dark Angel, but when you click on it, you are watching I Come in Peace. But if you have the Shout Factory / Scream Factory release, it is Dark Angel titled Dark Dark Angel titled Dark Angel.
Of course, yes.
Personal experience. I had a friend send me the trailer and be like, "This looks like your kind of weird Christmas shit." And I put it on the list.
And he was right.
He was right. But yeah, that's about the size of it. It was on the list, and then it popped up for for this podcast.
Some kind of maniac alien cop.
Jeff, I also thought of maniac cop with this movie.
Made around the same time, too.
Do you have anything else, or are you ready to jump into our synopsis?
Well, I do want to point out that even though this movie did terribly at the box office, it may still have been a success because this was right around when home video was starting to get big. So it could have been a VHS rental success, but there weren't any records kept at the time.
Oh,
so.
Man. I bet it was. I bet people were like, I gotta see this Dark Angel.
You see the cover on that thing, that would draw, especially like, you know, boys probably like, what, 10 to 15? That's drawing them in for sure.
They're like, I gotta see what Dolph Lundgren's getting up to.
Oh, yeah.
Drago, he's gonna punch all these aliens.
And he does, too.
He does. Yeah. And he also roundhouse kicks everybody.
Three or four roundhouse kicks, solid ones.
A businessman is driving home at night, and he puts a CD into his car as Hark the Herald Angel Sing starts to play on a stereo system. The CD player then starts acting up and skipping around, and the CD shoots out of his CD player and kind of burns his hand. He goes to put the CD back in and almost gets hit by a bus and then crashes into a Christmas tree farm.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of his car with a Merry fucking Christmas as something overhead crashes into his car, which explodes. Out of the wreckage steps a tall, wide-eyed, blonde, mulleted alien that says, "I come in peace." Opening credits and title card.
Oh, boy. I'm excited for what he's going to learn later on, Jay.
As we see a guy trying to break into a police evidence lockup, steal a bunch of heroin, and murder an officer that went in to check, and then he steals his name tag. He meets up with a friend on the inside, and as they're leaving, they leave one briefcase behind, but he's carrying another briefcase. They make it up the stairs as Joy to the World starts to play, and we see a giant Christmas tree in the police station. They get into a waiting getaway car with a driver, and the guy with the heroin says, "Better hurry," as the car starts to drive away, and the police station explodes.
Make sure there's no witnesses.
What do these two scenes at the beginning of the movie have to do with each other? We'll find out soon.
We will find out soon. Let's just say there's a few white boys running around here.
Outside a place called Jacko's, Detective Jack Kane is listening in as inside Mr. Davis is meeting and making a deal with Manning, a notorious drug kingpin and crime boss.
Indeed.
Detective Kane watches as the three guys from earlier, now all wearing suits, pull up and walk in, and it sounds like a deal is about to be made when two guys try to rob a liquor store right next to where Detective Kane is staking out.
Which, of course, he has to try to stop because it's Detective Kane. I also want to ask you, what university did you attend, Jay? Just out of curiosity.
The University of Suck My Dick.
Oh, you got me. Fuck me.
That was one of my favorite quotes. Kane goes in to stop the robbery, immediately walks in the door and delivers a roundhouse kick to one of the robbers.
Yeah.
And then kills the other robber when he won't put his gun down. But this coincides directly with Mr. Davis, aka Dolph Lundgren's partner. Yep, Detective Ray Turner, getting his cover getting blown, and he also gets shot at the same time.
But it turns out somebody else is after this blow, Jay, not just the cops.
Yep. Manning and his core group of white boys leave as another group cleans up, and we see the same blonde mulleted alien from earlier inside. He says, "I come in peace," and then shoots a CD disc out of his wrist gun that bounces around the room, slitting throats and bouncing off of walls. A la Captain America's shield.
Yes, yes.
Without the throat slitting, I guess. Captain America's, as far as I'm aware, Captain America's shield has never slit someone's throat, but maybe it has.
Maybe Captain Hydra. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to look into it. One guy tries to escape, and the alien takes out a space gun. The movie's words, not mine.
Yes, I appreciated them just calling it a space gun instead of trying to come up with some clever name for it.
And then shoots the dude, which causes a massive explosion. Kane runs into the smoldering wreckage and finds Ray's dead body, as well as a bunch of dead white boys, and the alien has stolen the heroin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Later, after the police force has arrived, Jack's captain chews him out for Ray's death, as well as the missing heroin, missing $500,000, and the fact that he went undercover for 8 days without any permission or whatever.
8 days? I could have overlooked a week, but 8 fucking days.
Everyone's mad about these 8 days.
I haven't seen you for 8 days.
And so he puts Ray on, or he puts Jack on.
No, you know what, Jay? I'm not letting you move on. I'm so pissed off I could throw you through a goddamn window, but I'm not going to do that right now. It's not the time. It's not the time to break your fucking neck either. Okay. 8 days.
You're going on vacation. You've got 8 weeks of vacation saved up, and you're taking them all right now.
You take that vacation, Jay, or it's going to become permanent.
Agent Switzer then asks to speak to Jack, and we get this great scene in private. We get this great scene where they go into the bathroom. There's a cop at a urinal, and Jack's like, "Hey, get out of here." And the guy's just like, "Oh, okay." And he turns around and leaves without washing his hands.
Of course.
It would have been really funny if he had, like, if someone had acknowledged it, be like, "Dude didn't wash his hands." Switzer asks Jack for info, and Jack tells him that whatever killed these people wasn't a knife. And Jack offers to help, but wouldn't you know it, he's just been put on vacation for 8 weeks.
Oof. Well, you know, Jay, he promised to go on vacation. He never said when.
Jack is now off vacation, but he has a Fed as a partner.
Ooh, boo, boo.
Enter Special Agent Smith. who's a real pencil pusher, a real geek, a real pencil neck. And by the looks of it, these two guys, they're from different sides of the tracks. They're not going to get along.
Yeah. You know, Jay, you may not be accustomed to working cases under federal jurisdiction, but there's some general parameters we're going to have to establish. Parameters? Yeah, you know, like guidelines. I know what it means.
Also, Jack's love interest, Diane, the coroner.
Jack and Diane.
Yep. Jack's love interest, the coroner, Diane, comes in and explains that the weapon that she can't explain the weapon that cut everyone's throats. There we go.
And they get into a disagreement, and then Larry makes one of his funniest comments. Real healthy relationship you got there, pal.
she even says how sharp this blade was. I don't think I could make a cut that precise with a scalpel.
Yes.
Some
sort of nanomolecular edged weapon, you say?
We then cut to a homeless encampment outside an abandoned like school. As a giant series of holes get blown into a bunch of walls, and then we see a second brunette mulleted alien rise up as a homeless lady says, "Holy shit!"
Yes. Appropriate reaction.
At the crime scene, Kane and Smith bicker about how they dress different and their different approaches to solving crimes. I don't know how these two will ever get along, Jeff.
Well, it turns out it's going to take something pretty crazy to bring them together.
A bail bondsman is watching what I think is It's a Wonderful Life when his dog starts barking and his power gets cut. The blonde alien then grabs him and shoots a tendril out of his wrist that stabs the officer the bail bondsman in the chest and injects him with something. We'll find out his heroin. And then a spike emerges from the alien's wrist and he goes to stab the guy. And as he goes to stab him, it cuts away to a Q hitting a pool ball, which I thought was kind of a neat cutaway.
Yeah.
Kane and Smith are in a strip club.
Oh no, Jay, all the blood's rushing away from my head.
I was going to say, Smith comments on all the blood leaving his head, and Jack spots his old pal, Boner. And boy, we're going to have a bunch of quotes about Boner, because I felt really immature, but all the jokes were really funny.
I mean, they were.
Boner is a pool shark slash informant who tells them that he heard Manning... he heard that Manning thinks that the cops stole the drugs. But the drugs aren't on the street, so maybe the Martians took it.
Mm-hmm.
They go back to the crime scene, and Kane supposes that the weapon is like some kind of pool ball bouncing around, and he finds the disc lodged in the stereo speaker, still spinning and razor sharp.
Indeed. And then, of course, Larry tries to pull it out and almost decapitates both of them.
Yep. And then it gets lodged back in the speaker.
It's almost like it's attracted to something in the speaker, Jay.
A guy running a mini street sweeper in a parking garage, when all of a sudden the blonde alien shows up, does the whole tendril thing, and then we see him put the spike into the dude's head and start sucking his brain juices out.
Are you telling me this guy traveled millions of miles just to suck guys off on Earth?
He sucks a lady off on Earth, too. Through the spike, we kind of see like stuff being drained up into like some kind of compartment.
Yes.
The brunette alien then shows up and starts shooting at him. The blonde alien then runs on top of cars as they explode behind him.
Of course.
And then he jumps out a window.
Yes, yes, as you do.
The brunette alien is a terrible shot.
He is. He really is pathetic when it comes down to it.
Jack goes to Diane's where they presumably fuck.
Yeah. Sing a little ditty, maybe.
The next morning, Jack goes back to his apartment, which appears to be ransacked. Smith is inside saying it was like this when he got there.
Been robbed. Boy, FBI guys don't miss much, do you?
And that there were more murders last night.
What does he say? You better be fucking Santa or you're dead.
The blonde alien then shows up at a garage where there's a lady mechanic working on a car, She gets sucked off.
Yeah, but not before, of course, her top gets exposed, Jay. Gotta rip that shirt off.
Yep. But we're not talking Silent Night, Deadly Night, where they rip the shirt off and no one's wearing bras in this universe. This woman's wearing a bra.
Boo.
And nobody takes it off.
Nobody. Nobody even tries, Jay.
They go to Bruce, a scientist, who I guess is experimenting with caffeine.
Also a crack fiend, I think.
That Kane knows. And he shows him the disc, and it apparently it runs on some kind of magnetic frequency.
He tries to shovel a bunch of pills into a trash can when he sees the FBI is there.
They then go to see Diane at the coroner's, and she tells us that all the victims had massive heroin overdoses before they died.
Ooh.
That's where all the heroin went. That's what people have been getting injected with.
That's why he needed the pure heroin.
Manning sends a threatening note to Kane informing him that he fled to Rio, but Warren, Manning's right-hand man, and the white boys are out looking for him.
Yep.
Gotta watch out for them white boys.
He didn't want to go to Rio till next month, Jay. It's packed right now.
They are immediately chased in their car by two white boys. Smith gets off one shot and, like, basically blows out their back window, which scares these white boys away. They go to the Warren to Warren's building, where Kane distracts a bunch of white boys by setting off their car alarms, and then sneaks in and roundhouse kicks everyone that gets in his way. Like, there's a little old granny trying to leave through the front door, and he roundhouse kicks her. Yes. And then there's like a janitor pushing a trash can. He gets roundhouse kicked. Two guys are carrying a large pane of glass, and Jack roundhouse kicks both of them, and then roundhouse kicks the pane of glass. None of that happens, but he does roundhouse kick a bunch of people.
Yes.
He then breaks into a boardroom, holds
the white boys hostage.
Holds all the Warren, all of the white boys hostage, but then the white boys have gotten Smith and are holding him hostage. And basically Warren says that Jack's responsible for this or whatever. And the drug war is causing like their money to dry up. So Jack needs to go do this drug delivery himself.
You're going to make this delivery for us. And what's with the drug war all of a sudden? What, do we miss a payment or something?
Kane takes the drugs inside a shop to make the deal, but the shopkeeper pulls a gun and runs off with the drugs. Kane chases after him, but finds the drug dealer dead. And then the blonde alien drops down behind him. Kane tries to fight him, but he just kind of gets thrown around by the blonde alien. When the brunette alien shows up, blows up some more cars with his terrible aim, and the explosions distract the white boys. So Agent Smith kicks both the white boys in the dick and then runs off to help.
Yes, of course.
The two aliens chase each other around some more. Kane goes back to Diane, who tells her that all the victims had their pituitary glands drained, and that the fluid would be a perfect drug, hypothetically.
Ooh.
They go back to Bruce, who tells them that someone stole the discs, and that they looked a lot like Agent Smith. A couple FBI agents showed up. Sounds like Smith's been lying to old Jack.
Yeah.
The blonde alien goes into a convenience store, murders some people with the disc weapon, and then the brunette alien shows up, and they have a shootout where the brunette alien gets hit and injured.
Yes.
And he starts leaking like white marshmallow blood fluff out of his stomach.
Oh no. My Stay Puffed.
The whole department shows up at the convenience store as the brunette alien watches. The captain tells Jack that he's back off the case and he's going on vacation and that the FBI is handling it now. Jack tells Diane that they're going on vacation and then tells Smith to fuck off and gets in his car where the brunette alien is in his back seat. Smith then follows Jack in to continue yelling at him, and then he's like, hold on one second, guy. So he yells at Jack some more, and then turns back around, and he's like, whoa! The alien, who we learn is Azek, tells us that the other alien, Talek, is making Blarcy a priceless drug, and that if Talek can get the drugs to his home planet, that more like him will come to Earth and harvest it from all of us. Azek then cracks and explodes in a brilliant, bright light, but Smith was able to grab Azek's space gun and runs off with it to give it to Switzer, who tells Smith that he's off the case now and that he's served his country well. And it turns out that Switzer is about to kill Smith, but Kane followed him and kills Switzer instead, and they take the space gun back.
And this is also where Smith reveals that he's the one who robbed the apartment earlier looking for the disc, too.
They find it Tollek's hideout at the old abandoned electrical plant.
Of course. The old Fletcher building, you mean?
Tollek shows up and gets punched and kicked a bunch by Kane, but basically no sells all of it. Tollek fights back and chases after them as they shoot at each other. The cops use it, or the Smith and Jack using Azek's gun. And then it turns out Smith is actually an excellent shot and hits Tollek multiple times. And one time, like, hits him in his armor or whatever, and the Blarcy pack fell off. And now our good guys have the Blarcy drug. They could have just called it, like, the drug. They didn't have to call it Blarcy.
Nah, it's better. Gotta get some of that Blarcy.
They go back to Jack's house, where Agent Smith is like, oh, he got hit with the disc weapon. And he's like, oh, do you got a jacket for me? And he's like, here. And he's like, oh, this one fits perfect. And Jack's like, yeah, I had it since I was 12.
Yep.
And so they're planning to go out and they've got a plan to go trap Tollek. And this is where Dolph Lundgren is not wearing a shirt and just throws on a leather jacket over his shirtless chest.
Yes.
And I think is wearing a pair of sunglasses and looks cooler than any person has ever looked before.
Pretty close, yeah.
I went, man, why is Dolph Lundgren more of a star? This is he looks so cool in this scene.
He does look cool in this movie.
But Diane shows up.
Time for our vacation.
Yeah, it's time for our vacation. But once you know it, they don't get to go on vacation because they've got this plan. And then some white boys show up, start shooting at them. But then Tollek shows up, killing the white boys and a police officer who just happened to be driving by, and steals that police officer's police car and chases after Jack, Diane, and Agent Smith in their own car.
Stop, you're using a municipal vehicle against regulations.
The car chase goes through the streets / sidewalks of Houston before they both drive through a shopping mall.
Of course.
And then back onto the street where Tollek is able to force like cars to crash into a tunnel. And Agent Smith is able to get the gun working, the space gun, and shoots it at Tollek, blowing up the police car. And then, which, you know, Tollek just comes sprinting out of the wreckage of the flaming exploded police car like nothing happened.
I mean, he's pretty much established he's indestructible.
They make their way to a factory and set a trap for Tollek using the Blarcy as bait.
Gotta have my Blarcy.
They're always after me, Lucky Blarcy.
They use the Blissy as bait.
Tollek finds the empty Blarcy container, but Smith's space gun isn't working. Kane shoots Tollek with a shotgun as Smith and Diane run. We get this big action shootout with running and explosions throughout the abandoned factory. Eventually, Tollek is able to like get a jump on Smith and Diane, knocking Smith into some garbage or something.
It's the roof of a car.
And grabs Diane, and Jack, realizing he kind of has no way out, takes out the Blarcy and starts smashing it to get Tollek to follow him to let Diane go. And we get this big showdown for the Blarcy that starts in a fist fight. And then Tollek is able to overpower Jack and is about to inject him with the injector before Jack is able to turn it around and inject Tollek with it. And then Roundhouse kicks him into an exposed pipe that Tollek gets impaled on.
Yes.
And then Tollek says, I come in peace. And Jack Kane says, then go in pieces, asshole. And shoots him with a space gun, blowing him up.
Fuck yeah. Roll credits.
Tollek explodes. And then Kane says to Diane and Smith as they are leaving the factory to go on vacation that they're going to Rio to catch Manning. And Smith says, no, no, no. And Jack laughs, freeze frame, credits roll. End of movie.
Indeed. Indeed. End of movie.
Dark Angel / I Come in Peace. What a film. Anything I missed, Jeff? Or are you ready to dive into our categories?
I think I'm about ready to dive on in.
All right, where do you want to start?
Quotes. Do the quotes.
Oh, excellent. I was hoping you'd say that.
This is right after Jack has killed Smith's mentor. Never trust nobody. Cain Manual, chapter 1, page 1.
Because Smith keeps citing like the Switzer Manual.
Yes, he was constantly quoting from the Switzer Manual.
Manning, who set this up anyway? White boy. I don't know, sir. Manning, if it's Warren, he should know better. At least now there's one less cop in the world.
This is while Jack and Larry are being chased by the white boys. Larry whips out a gigantic, like a 44 Magnum size handgun. And Jack's like, what the hell is that? And then Larry's like, a Christmas present for my mother.
The line I said earlier, Jack hands Smith a jacket. Mm-hmm. Hey, it fits. Jack, it should. It was mine when I was 12.
This is right before the supermarket kind of like corner store shootout. And the customer's like, no, shit, man, he had to be at least 7 feet tall. I just saw him 2 blocks down the street. And the guy that's checking him out is like, yeah, sure you did. Remember last week when you saw Jimi Hendrix at the laundromat?
Diane goes, when she sees Tolik, she goes, who is that guy? And Jack goes, some asshole from outer space.
I mean, accurate.
And then Jack, too, said asshole, fuck you, spaceman.
Larry, of course, in the strip club. All the blood is leaving my head.
I was gonna say, are we ready to get pretty childish here, Jeff?
Let's do it.
At the strip club. My old pal Boner.
Yes.
Later on. All right, beat it, Boner.
Yeah.
And then my favorite, Agent Smith. So that's why we come here, huh? To pump Boner? Highly illegal.
Yes. Okay, Boner, who killed my partner? Who's got the drugs? The fucking Martians.
Also, I forgot to mention, a guy pulls a knife on... When Jack's talking to Boner, a guy pulls a knife on Jack, and then Agent Smith has a gun on the guy who pulled a knife, and then Boner looks down, and Jack's pointing a gun at Boner's dick.
Yep.
Excellent stuff.
Well, you know how he got that nickname, Jay. It's what he values most. This is another Larry when they're in the hospital right after I think it's after the supermarket shootout. And he's like, excuse me, young lady, emergency call for the FBI. And there's this girl that's on a payphone and she just like ignores him. She's like, you're never going to believe what just happened. So he hangs it up and he's like, thank you. Do you have change for a dollar? And then she just walks up.
And then later on, he's trying to make a collect call.
Yeah.
Also, I assume the guy's name is Boner. I assume he is Boner from Growing Pains' dad. And so that's whatever Bruno Stabone Sr. is in this movie. And then Bruno Stabone Jr. is Boner in Growing Pains.
Oh, yes, of course.
I always think about the Family Guy where Adam West thinks the fact that his name was Boner is the funniest thing.
Yeah. Oh, this is a pair of Jack and Larry quotes that go together. Jack, you're going to think I'm crazy. Larry, well, don't let that stop you. It hasn't yet. And Jack's like, I think we're dealing with aliens and not from Mexico. And then the follow up quote, I need you to listen to me, from Jack. And then Larry's like, you need a psychiatrist, Jack.
Oh, man, I think I'm out of quotes.
Oh, this last one. Because earlier on in the movie, he commented on what Dolph Lundgren is wearing or whatever, if it was best for their appearance or whatever. Yep. He's like, well, if we're going off that, then you should ride in the trunk. And then later on, Jack's asking Bruce, the scientist that's crazy on caffeine. He's like, are you all right? And he's all beat up. And he's like, I feel like I look. And Larry's like, you look like shit. And Bruce's like, look who's talking. Yeah, that's all I get.
What do you, Christmas Spirit, How Christmassy Is the Movie, How Christmassy Are the Kills?
I don't know. I mean, the movie's fairly Christmassy, I guess.
It felt very Maniac Cop too.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of stuff like in your face or whatever, but it's around. You notice the decorations.
I think it's more Christmassy than Maniac Cop 2, but it's about the same level.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Kills not at all. Yeah. Unless you consider an alien coming down, injecting people with heroin, and then sucking their brain juices out through like a needle Christmassy. Then it's incredibly Christmassy.
I mean, I suppose giving people heroin could be considered a gift.
True. He could be some kind of dark Santa.
And he does have that thing he shoots out, the little impaler thing that he shoots out of his wrist, does have a green Christmas light.
Yeah, it is green and red.
Yeah, so, you know.
Maybe. You know what? I take it back. Incredibly Christmassy. Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, etc. Anything else you wanted to shout out?
I mean, they're all good. Everybody's got a distinct look. You got Larry in his suits. You got Dolph Lundgren and his cool guy, 80s cop stuff. You got the disheveled commissioner who always looks sweaty no matter what's going on.
I like that all the pencil pushers, all the like higher ups, all the just like regular Joes are all bald dudes. I thought that was really fun for both the FBI and the police. If you see a bald dude, you're like, oh, that guy's probably a copper with the FBI.
That's where we assign the bald guys. They're the grunts.
They're in the bald guy category.
Of course, the aliens both looked interesting.
Very 80s. Yes, like
I liked blonde aliens design the best, I think.
I agree. I thought both the aliens looked really cool. Scientist Bruce was probably my favorite character.
Ah! I need to calm down.
Then he starts like
chugging coffee
and then rolls around on his desk
because he's like, yeah, this is a foreign coffee. This America stuff doesn't do anything for you. Wouldn't wake up a hamster.
And then, once again, Dolph Lundgren wearing no shirt, a leather jacket and sunglasses looks so fucking cool in this movie.
Classic. I thought the effects were pretty good for the kills, like the injection scenes were good. The alien blood, I thought, was a unique take, like that white, like, marshmallow stuff coming out of him.
No, first time I saw this, I went like, what the fuck's going on there? And then, as I kept watching, I'm like, this is great. I love this weird white alien goop. And then them exploding in, like, a crack and, like, bursts of light. I thought that was awesome. Like you said, for the effects, I think that's what you get for having a stuntman as your director. Like all the fucking explosions look cool as hell. Like all the action scenes look amazing. Like this is a guy who knows that kind of shit.
Definitely.
Broken bulb, brilliant bulb. Thing you want to fix, thing you want to praise.
Well, it was kind of difficult, but I think you're going to know what I'm going to say, Jay, because as Horror for the Holidays resident pervert, there's really only one thing I could say about a movie with lots of good dialogue and lots of good action. Where's the sex appeal, Jay?
Yeah, not enough nudity in this movie.
We only get one partial set of boobs in this entire movie.
They're kind of in the background.
What kind of 80s action movie is this, Jay? I know it came out like right at the end, but still. What's going on in here?
I agree. I was expecting more nudity in this movie.
Nothing. They don't give you anything.
Like I said, they presumably fuck.
Nothing on screen.
Yeah, there's no like sexy like shower scene between Jack and Diane.
Nope.
No little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Nothing.
Sucking on chili dogs and whatnot.
Nope. No sucking. Well, they're sucking.
They're sucking, but not on chili dogs.
Not the kind you're wanting.
My broken bulb. The drug war stuff. Honestly, I would like it felt you'd get like cool alien shit and then it'd be back to like street level drug shit.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping I was really thinking like have like the beginning of the movie be like the drug stuff. And then maybe even have like Ray and Jack, like they both kind of make the bust or whatever. They both kind of break in and then the alien breaks in, kills Ray, and then steals the heroin and runs off. And so then, like, early on, you know, Jack can be like, no, it was this tall guy with blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And, like, and have it be less about the drug war, drug kingpin shit, and more about... I just wanted more fucking alien stuff.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. If they had just done that at the beginning and used it as the setup, or whatever and had all the white boys wiped out, that would have been fine.
Because instead it'd be like, cool alien stuff, cool alien stuff. Oh, here comes some white boys.
I mean, I get they're trying to break it up for the investigation or whatever to seem realistic. Like, of course, he's not going to automatically assume it's an alien to start off with. But yeah, I think they could have done it better.
And like, I don't think there's any talk about like the car that crashed into a Christmas tree farm and then exploded. Like, I was like, oh, you know, mate, you could go back and have them investigate that and stuff.
Investigate the homeless camp where the other alien shows up.
Yep. Like, I thought that would have been, that's more what I would have done. I don't necessarily think that's like a big negative. That's yeah, just I mean, like if I were making this movie, that's the direction I would have.
Yeah, gone. I mean, I kind of thought about that with the other alien. Maybe do have him as like a red herring where they think he's the bad one.
Yes.
Up until a certain point.
You could even do like an interrogation scene where they're at like a they're in the interrogation room, yeah. And like he's very cooperative, and because like no, they're trying to work together.
Mm. Yeah, and then have Dolph Lundgren be the only one who believes him that he's not doing it. Yeah,
brilliant bulb thing you want to praise.
See, there was a lot of things I could praise in this one, but honestly, I think I'm going to praise, and this is surprising for a Dolph Lundgren action movie, Jay. But I thought the script was really good. A lot of snappy dialogue between our two main characters, some fun lines from the side characters. I mean, Diane's like a semi-main character. She gets a lot of good lines. But no, just anybody who walks on, like, I mean, the conversation at the corner store about the, oh yeah, you saw Jimi Hendrix last week or whatever, doing a load of tie-dye shirts at the laundromat. Or the fucking crazy rant that the police chief goes on for no reason when he shows up at the beginning about the 8 days. And about wringing his neck and throwing him out a goddamn window.
This world feels very like real.
Yes.
Like the way people talk to each other and the, like you said, the snappy dialogue mm-hmm. and just the way people are responding to it felt like the real world in a lot of ways.
It's like, yes, it's very, and very 80s man friendship dialogue between the two leads where they're constantly busting each other's balls.
I didn't believe they would ever find a way to get along.
How could they, Jay? Two men who are so different.
They're so different. I've never seen a movie like this where they just become friends at the end. I mean, wild.
One's short, one's tall, one's muscular, one's wimpy, one goes by the book, and one's a rogue lone wolf. How's this ever going to work?
This would never work. No other movie would ever make something like this work.
No.
my brilliant thing I want to phrase. I loved all the, I said this earlier, I loved all the action. Craig R. Baxley is a former stuntman. And that really shows through the chase scene, through all the explosions. When Ozek is like shooting the cars and Taulik is running on the hoods mm-hmm. of the cars as they explode underneath him. Thought that looked awesome. And every single action scene, yeah. It is shot by someone who knows how to direct an action or knows about action scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just love the initial encounter between Dolph Lundgren and Taulik, where he does the triple roundhouse kick and punches him a couple times, and then he just like backhands him across the thing.
Grabs him by the throat and chucks yeah. him, because then when Diane goes to look at his, check him out afterwards, she's like, I always thought I'd be the one to wring your neck.
Yeah.
Once again, some really great dialogue.
Some good dialogue. Some real hard-boiled detective stuff in here.
You ready to do our final rating?
Might as well.
Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories.
He got there.
Is it ho-ho-ho hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff, take us away.
I pick seasonally scary for this one. Although it's not really super scary unless you're like afraid of, I guess, I don't know. Getting murdered is kind of scary, Jay, I gotta say.
Or getting injected with drugs by aliens.
Intentionally overdosed and having your brain harvested is kind of horror, I will say. But no, I thought just for the quality of the movie, I thought it was weird. It was well done. It's funny. It's snappy. This is the rare example of a movie that we watch on this show that a normal person would probably like. Which I can't say for a lot of the things we watch on here that we give good ratings to.
What? We've never watched trash.
Well, yes, the trash, too. But even some of it's like I wouldn't try to show my dad The Leech, but I would probably show him this movie.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that attracts. Okay. So
it's got a mass appeal to it, I think, that would make it a seasonally scary. Like, this is one you could pull out and be like, hey, you want to see a weird Christmas movie? Here you go.
Right off the bat, This is not as much of a horror movie as I was hoping it would be. I was really hoping, especially with the premise of an alien sucking people's juices out, that we would have at least gotten some like gnarly desiccated corpses that were all drained of their juices or whatever. I thought we'd get something like that. We didn't really get that.
Jay, I only need one specific juice.
True, you're right. He only did need one specific juice. But this movie's just big, dumb fun. Dolph Lundgren are running around looking cool as hell, roundhouse kicking everybody that gets in his way, all while an alien drug dealer is killing people to make, what did I call it, Blarcy?
Yeah.
This movie's a fucking ho-ho hilarious. I fucking loved this.
Yeah, I was flopping back and forth between those two, but yeah.
It's right on the thing. For me, literally, if we had gotten like desiccated corpses when the people have been drained of juices, I would have given this a seasonally scary. I was just like, oh, that's a little short on what I was looking for.
And remember, folks, I'm the resident pervert of this show, and I still gave it a good rating, even though there's nothing for me in it.
What? This was the fucking 80s.
I know.
Every other scene should have been sexy.
It was the golden age.
Well, Jeff, just stop to think that maybe we're wrong and maybe we're getting clothes for Christmas.
Nope. No, I never think that, Jay. Our opinions are literally the only ones that matters. Did you see that? I put that on the stocking stuffer description.
I did. I loved it.
So.
All right. Hold on. So this is taken from the Wikipedia article about the critical reception for the movie. So it's going to be quoting a bunch of stuff. I probably won't read the whole thing. Contemporary reviews were generally negative. Kevin Thomas of the Los Angeles Times called it stale through and through, derived from countless cop buddy formula thrillers, drenched in violence. And devoid of so much as a whiff of real life. Karen James of the New York Times wrote, "The story turns out to be much more mundane than its outrageously clever premise." David Kerr of the Chicago Tribune wrote that the film's imaginative weapons and humor make it an entertaining crowd pleaser, but criticized its cynical violence and lack of moral consciousness.
What?
Richard Harrington of the Washington Post compared it to Hardware and said its influences are more subtle, though it suffers from using too much humor. Disagree. Some of the humor was the best part. Chris Hicks of the Deseret News wrote that the film isn't as bad as it has every right to be, which, I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing you and I would say about a movie. Ah, this movie's not as bad as I thought it would be. Provides some fun for fans of the genre. And then Lou Cedrone of the Baltimore Sun wrote, "Apart from the gore, I Come in Peace is an amusing mixture of action, science fiction, and comedy." Once again, where the fuck are you guys getting gore from? There's barely any gore in this movie.
I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Are they talking about the little pinprick marks from the stabbing thing?
And like, maybe you see like people's throats getting slit, but you don't really see anything.
I was gonna say, you see it for like a second flash up on screen or whatever.
I think a dude even gets hit with one of the discs, and instead of being like, I was like, oh, is his head gonna get cut off? Is this gonna be like real gory? No, instead I think he gets thrown backwards through a window.
Yep. 0 stars if I could. He came in peace. I left in anger.
He came in peace, and I was coming too, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Boner. I was pumping boner.
And hey, that's highly illegal. An alien travels across the galaxy to Houston to harvest drugs from human brains.
Travels across the galaxy to Houston.
That sentence is more entertaining than the movie. Dolph Lundgren plays a cop who apparently solves crimes by being 6'5" and staring suspiciously at things. Hey, you know what? Not everybody can do that. His partner is annoying. I disagree. I like Smith.
I like Smith too.
His boss is angry. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
The FBI.
He's an angry, hard-boiled police captain.
I was gonna say, have you never seen a police like captain from the 50s up through the like early 2000s? That's what they do.
I was gonna say. I think the best police captain is probably Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like,
I mean, you got your classic on SVU. They're on what, like season 27 now. Craig, and that's his whole thing. He's an angry Irish guy. Of course, The FBI is useless, true to life, and the alien has somehow mastered interstellar travel, but hasn't mastered saying anything besides, I come in peace. By the end, I was rooting for the alien. At least he had a plan. 0 stars. I came in peace. I left demanding a refund.
Boo.
We got a witty guy here, Jay.
4 out of 10. Dark Angel. That's just the name of the movie.
Yep.
What on earth is going on in the film title here? I don't know, but I prefer Dark Angel for sure. Anyways, this was Matthias Hughes' big flick for which he is most remembered for, which isn't much to shout about. Very silly sci-fi flick about an alien drug dealer sucking endorphins out of human brains to sell it all over the galaxy. It's very hokey, even for its time, and without Lundgren would be a total B-movie schlock. I think it's still...
I mean, it is. It's with Lundgren, yeah.
Even with
a C-movie without.
Even with Lundgren, it's still pretty poor with bad effects. Bad effect? What the fuck? Terrible acting, once again, and only a few impressive car stunts to hand.
Oh,
what the
God.
Fuck are we talking about? I mean, really.
Got a real Fast and the Furious guy here.
How can you take this remotely seriously with a gang of thugs called the White Boys?
How can you not?
That are all dressed in suits and look like killer yuppies.
Yeah, that's literally what he says. Yuppie gangsters at the beginning.
It's a classic dumb sci-fi B-movie for sure. Didn't you just say it wasn't a B-movie because Lundgren was in
it? And he said it wasn't fun.
For sure, but I just didn't really like it that much. Ben was constantly annoying, and the whole film was trying too hard with the obvious mismatch buddy cop hero duo squabbling with each other setup. All this did was come across as boring, cliched, unoriginal, and resulting in some majorly lame forced humor.
I mean, honestly, the whole buddy cop thing doesn't even really come into play that much. They pretty much just do what Dolph Lundgren wants to do throughout the entire movie. Larry will like say, oh, but we should do something else. But then he just does what he wants anyway.
He's like, hey, I'm Dolph Lundgren here. You're welcome to do what I want to do.
Shut the fuck up, pipsqueak.
And then he roundhouse kicks a granny.
Yeah. Predator ordered from Timu. 1 star.
You know what? Fair.
Somebody watched Predator, Lethal Weapon, The Terminator, and Alien Nation and shook the VHS tapes together in a garbage bag.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And Dark Angel fell out.
A lot of these guys were in Predator. They didn't just watch it. They were in it.
You got the cop who doesn't play by the rules, the uptight Fed, the dead partner, drug dealers, an alien, a bigger alien, space heroin, and of course, explosions. And you got Dolph Lundgren walking around like he's trying to remember which movie he's in. The villain is basically Predator, if Predator stopped hunting warriors and started selling meth behind a truck stop.
I've not heard anything negative about this movie.
I was going to say, you rated this 1 star, and yet you just described one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, this movie is great, and you're describing a great movie.
Truck Stop Meth Predator.
Sign me up.
Yes. Got anything else?
3 out of 10. Drug dealer from outer space.
Oh, wow. You watched it. You got it.
Original idea made with great effort and turns out to be just another non-brains action movie that doesn't hold up. You know how we say non-brains.
Yeah, non-brains.
The guy playing the intergalactic drug dealer is pretty good, especially as his dialogue got about one line. I come in peace. I come in peace. Yeah, yeah, we hear you, pal. You can shut up now.
Oh,
this review was left in 1999, apparently.
I don't get this. I mean, the Predator barely talks at all. He says, what, one word in English in the original movie?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I got one more.
All right. Imagine possessing technology capable of crossing light years. You could explore distant galaxies, discover new civilizations, unlock the secrets of the universe. Instead, why don't we go to Texas and start making drugs? Apparently, Houston has become the space Baltimore of the universe.
Welcome to Houston, space Baltimore.
Baltimore's been catching strays out here, Jay. The alien's business model also seems wildly inefficient. He personally travels across the galaxy, individually murders people, extracts tiny quantities of narcotics, and then presumably flies home. Have you considered subcontracting? 0 stars if I could.
Boo.
Once again. Oh, are you telling me that an 80s action movie plot isn't that good? Oh, wow. Crazy.
Hard to believe. 4 out of 10. The only things I liked were the guns with explosive ammo.
Okay.
Dark Angel is a film about an alien drug dealer who comes to Earth to harvest humans for their endorphins and then sell them on the black market. The endorphins are supposed to be the ultimate drug and people will pay a lot of money for it. An alien cop comes to Earth as well to attempt to stop this guy, but ends up having to rely on the hero as he is killed in a particularly brutal attack. The only good thing about this movie is the action. Dolph Lundgren's acting is really bad, and the characters are mostly stereotypical. I've never seen a movie like that. Stop describing this as stereotypical. I've never seen two cops from different areas, you know, not being able to get along and putting their different... This has never happened before in cinema.
Yeah, people just need to grow up, I think. Their criticisms are getting pretty... You know what? Your criticisms are cliche, sir.
Kane is a loader cop who loses his partner in a failed drug bust, and Smith is a by-the-books FBI agent.
Yeah, but he's not, though. That's the thing, is he breaks the book constantly.
The aliens are humanoid, but look very intimidating, and as such, I like them. I thought you said the only thing you liked was the action. Anyway.
Okay, let's pause for a second. So this he's a by-the-book agent. He's not, though. Literally, he goes over the book at the very beginning. They immediately go break the book by interrogating Boner at the strip club, and he just goes along with it.
Yep. You can't pump Boner. That's illegal.
He's like, that's all he says is you can't pump Boner. He never stops him.
Their weapons are also heaps good, and... as such, I like the movie.
Oh boy, we got a Brit.
The main comment here is about drugs. Drugs are deadly to those who use them, and I guess it portrays that by the fact that the alien harvests drugs from humans. It is basically a theme that runs constantly through a lot of movies, attempting to address an escalating drug problem. It is also something that people can relate to. Yeah, I can relate to alien drug dealers.
Yeah.
The plot is basic, and so are the characters. There is no conflict of interest, and this is simply good guy against bad guy, and the good guy wins in the end. The movie is good for its action and its aliens, but little else. Already moving the goalposts. First, it was only the action. Now it's the action and the aliens.
I mean, you should be able to relate to this, Jay, because don't you have Captain Kirk syndrome, too? Where aliens won't stop sucking you off.
Man, I wish. Gotta tell these green ladies to get away from me.
Oh.
Also, if we had given this guy two more paragraphs, I bet he would have found a third thing that he liked about the movie. If we had given him more and more time, he would have come around and been like, "Nah, this movie fucking rules."
Actually, I think I might have liked this movie. All right, here we go. This is my last one, Jay, and it was a unique one I found just for you because I know you like these crazy ones.
All right.
One star. Somehow, Dolph is the small guy. The most unbelievable thing in Dark Angel isn't the alien drug dealer or the wacky plot. They somehow managed to find a man who makes Dolph Lundgren look like Kevin Hart. Every time Matthias Hughes walks on screen, Dolph suddenly looks like somebody's little brother. I spent the entire movie wondering where the hell they found this enormous German. Then another giant alien appears. Apparently their home planet has tremendous gravity and excellent protein powder. I came for Big Dolph. Where's Big Dolph?
This is Little Dolph, if anything.
There you go. I thought you might appreciate that.
I loved that. That was great. Where is Big Dolph?
Where is he?
Also, man, I'm surprised like someone at like WWF or WCW didn't see this movie. Matthias Hughes would have been a wrestling star. Like a giant dude who throws people around. Like, man, this guy had it.
Oh, I also, this is a two sentence one I saw on Google reviews, Jay, that kind of echoed what you said in your broken bulb. You have intergalactic drug war. Why am I watching Police Procedure? All in capitals.
Like, you know, yeah, I got why they were doing it. I just would have done, I would have done more alien shit.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Jay there, leaving Google reviews in all caps.
Naughty list, Jeff.
Why movie do what it did?
Why movie way it is? Where are we gonna put Tolik the alien? My thought was just below Terminator Santa.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's pretty close. I think it'd be a toss up probably between him and Terminator Santa. Probably depend on who got the drop on who.
I just don't think Tolik could. He couldn't do anything with his little needle, or like he couldn't suck anything out or inject anything.
If he had his explosive space gun, he could kill him probably. But yeah, if it came down to hand-to-hand combat, Terminator Santa's got it.
But I'm like, that's right about his level, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, it's agreed then.
It's agreed. The council has spoken.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage day!
Huh? No!
So, Jeff, as you know, it's the summer of soda.
It is, yes.
So I've got some soda and soda-adjacent things.
Oh, boy. I don't know, not crazy about the adjacent, because there's only one thing I could think of that's adjacent.
We've got Mountain Dew Blackberry Citrus, the new Casey's exclusive Mountain Dew.
Oh, boy.
Listener Robert gave us A&W Root Beer Float Zero Sugar.
Fuck yeah.
Which thanks, I Robert. Believe he described as being delicious, in quotes.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I trust Robert. There's something about him.
We've got some Haribo sour sodas.
Oh,
zing.
Zing.
And the last thing.
I caught sight of their terrible color already.
Mountain Dew Dunkers from Quick Trip.
YJ.
The viral Mountain Dew Donuts.
YJ the way he is. That's what I ask the AI.
It's unclear.
YJ do what he done. I was able to find the alien fusion of all the flavors. So
perfect.
Perfect for me.
Perfect for an alien movie.
Oh, God, he's got it open.
All right, grab yourself a toxic green dunker.
No, no. You've done this. After the Thanksgiving Oreos, could I ever even trust you again?
I don't know. Maybe these are great. I doubt they are, but maybe they
maybe
are.
Maybe they are. Stranger things have happened. There was a lot of seasons of it.
All right.
What do you want to do first?
All right, let's start with the gross thing.
Which is? All right.
The Mountain Dew Dunker.
All right. Let's do our Dunker toast here. Cheers, well, Jay.
Good dunking, sir. Tastes like a lemon cake donut.
Yeah. Nothing crazy.
Got a little bit of Mountain Dew flavor, but not bad.
Yeah.
Oh, here, let's do A&W Root Beer Float Zero Sugar.
Courtesy of Robert.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I can find his exact quote.
That shit fire, yo, Robert.
Hey, dog, it's me, Robert, the poop master of defeat. Okay. Whoa, I can't believe I get to donate 6 cans of the absolutely delicious zero sugar A&W root beer float.
Oh, I don't
to
like
the
that.
Order for the holidays podcast.
I don't like that.
And then he sent this picture.
Oh boy, not Robert. Why are you doing this to me?
Why Robert? The way it is.
why it do this to me, Jay? Why he make me suffer?
It smells like root beer.
It does, which I would hope.
That is a weird flavor. I don't know how I feel about that.
Absolutely delicious, Jay.
Yeah, you know what? If I could describe this one way, it's absolutely delicious.
Yes. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's definitely weird.
It's very weird. It's like, it's more like a cream soda than it is a root beer float.
Yes, I would agree.
All right, we got to get one. So you got to get a peach, blue raspberry, a cherry cola, and a lemon strawberry.
Got them all in my amorphous blob.
That's me, the amorphous blob.
Indeed.
The amorphous blob is also Taft Maxing.
Please, the amorphous blob was my father. Call me Blob.
We need to go to Blob Fest someday.
That'd be good.
All right, anyway.
Which one do you want to do first?
Let's do lemon strawberry.
Okay. Getting more lemon than strawberry, I gotta say.
Yeah, I'm not getting much strawberry. Also, not very sour.
No.
Peach blue raz.
Got it.
Way more peach than blue raspberry.
Yeah. Sensing a theme here.
All right, then cherry cola should be very cherry. This is all cola.
Yep, sure is. Hmm.
If I had to rank those, maybe the peach blue raspberry bottom. I don't know. I kind of like the cherry cola, so I'd say maybe that one at the top. But I mean, they're none of them are very good.
Yeah, I'll defer to your ranking. I'm not really a gummy guy.
All right, and last but not least, Mountain Dew Blackberry Citrus.
Oh,
the case is exclusive.
Here we go.
Smells bad.
Tastes bad. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, that's super unimpressive.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for more from that. That was disappointing.
Very underwhelming.
Well, are you ready to rank all this shit?
All right, let's do it. I think blackberry citrus at the bottom.
I think blackberry citrus at the bottom, yeah.
Just wasn't much of anything.
Then I'll probably do the Haribos.
Yep, and then the Dew Dunker, probably.
Yeah, and then, honestly, the absolutely delicious.
He was right.
You know what? Compared to these other things, this was absolutely delicious.
You know what? At least it had a unique flavor.
It's wild that it can smell like root beer but taste like cream soda. I think that's kind of nuts.
It's pretty good.
It's certainly better than when we did those ice cream sundae root beers.
Oh, yeah. Those were...
where they just tasted like chocolate.
God, those are terrible. So disappointing.
Listener, if you have any thoughts on absolutely delicious A&W root beer float zero sugar or Mountain Dew blackberry citrus or Haribo sour sodas or Mountain Dew quick star/quick trip dunkers, or about the movie Dark Angel, a.k.a. I Come in Peace, a.k.a. Lethal Contact. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
All right. YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays for all your audio and video backup needs. If you can't get us on the podcatchers for whatever reason, but we are on all the podcatchers. Give us 5-star reviews there. 5 stars are the only ones we'll be reading. We don't waste our time with anything lower. And if you put 0 stars, if I could, that'll really draw our attention because we'll know you're a real sicko who likes to watch.
We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Shit, this movie would be right up Jerry D's alley. This is right in the Totally Rad Christmas wheelhouse. Hell, maybe we'll talk about it with Jerry D at some point if he'll ever have us back.
Maybe we should suggest it to him if he's recovered from us blood beating him off.
But also check out like Scrooge, the Christmas Carol podcast, or Seasons Eatings or Holly Jolly Xmasu or Christmas Creeps, all sorts of good stuff.
Actually, don't check out any of those shows. Only watch ours.
Yeah, Spencer.
Yeah.
I saw you liking a Christmas Creeps post on Instagram.
I saw you liking things all over town.
How dare you? Number one fan. Anyway. That's how we lost our one fan.
Yeah.
Sorry, our number one fan.
I know our one fan is pretty accurate. I think we got a lot of hate watchers, Jay.
Otherwise, we'll see y'all next week for a stocking stuffer. Jeff, do we want to reveal it now?
Might as well.
For all the people who skipped the stocking stuffers.
We're doing tier list, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're going to rank it. Them. Kind of a thing we had talked about on the last stocking stuffer. We're diving feet first into this. We're going to rank the Halloween movies,
which I'm sure will have no divisive opinions on it at all, given what I know is James' favorite Halloween
movie. I'm excited to pound the table for my favorite Halloween movie.
Oh boy.
Anyways, we'll see you next week for that Halloween tier list. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back with another Christmas horror movie. Anyways, thanks for listening.
8 days, listener? 8 fucking days? I could have overlooked a week, but 8 days?
Bye.